Blog Talk Radio.
We're done and out. The mess is no better.
no stopping us now. We're calling our ancestors. This is Bishop Turner coming to you live right here from Chicago, Illinois, and through the way of Detroit by Mary Hawkins in Detroit. And we also got Pearl William in Detroit. So we're coming from Chicago and Detroit to you in Mississippi and Arkansas. Mary on the show every day and Pearl on the show. And this is Mother's Day week. We're getting ready for Mother's Day. And I got a great sermon I'm going to preach Sunday. I might do a little of it tonight. But I want to tell you tonight, with all that going on, God is still in control. I want you to be non-emotional. I want you to know that God will reach you where you're at. And whatever you're going through, God will take you to that next level. And sometimes it seems like it's hard, but God will carry you to that next level. He opened that door for you where you can be happy. You go knowing, sowing, and flowing in the right direction. This is May. And as we get ready to go to the next level, I want you to be grounded in the Word of God. I want to say this tonight. There's no sorrow on earth that heaven cannot heal. All the healing comes from God. And I was talking to Mary number two, and I was telling her that God is in control. And I talked to Mary Hawkins earlier, and I just want to reach out to your ancestors tonight. The name of this particular show is Crossing Over with Our Ancestors. That means I talk to people in the spirit realm. Janice, I see what you typed in. I want to tell you, Janice, when you ask me with your family members, and I want to tell you your mother's around you, and she comes to you, and she wants you to don't get upset about nothing. All is well. Mother Carrie, I picked your spirit up tonight. Mother Misa Brown, I picked your spirit up tonight. And I pick up the spirit of Mother Rosie Cook. I pick her spirit up. And I just feel a lot of saints that's around. I want to tell you tonight, God got your back. And God will see you through. I want to say, Pastor Blue, God bless you tonight. I talked to Pastor Blue. And I wanted her to bring a sermon, but she was so busy with her family members and getting ready. I want to say happy birthday to you, Pastor Blue. And Joe, I want you to stay focused. And when you download this, you know I have already said something about you. I am your computer bishop. If you want to send a donation, say, I don't believe in donation. I believe in seeding. And I'm asking Pearl for a seed of 127, Janet, seed 127, Robert, a seed of 127. Now, the Spirit put that on my heart, the angel come, and if you see that 127, get ready for a big breakthrough. Now, you can go to my website, theseedabrahamlookslike.com. And hit PayPal. I come up to see they land. Or else you go to Cash Out and hit Bishop T3T, and I'll pop up. I want to tell you tonight, that before we get ready with the ancestors, I feel that the ancestors are going to bring you something tonight. If you drop your seed in May, you don't worry because it's coming out. In June, July, and August, if you got a need. I'm praying tonight for Brother Daryl Spann in Chicago. That'd be all right. And I got Reverend Daryl in Detroit. And I don't know if you listen to me or not, but you let him know that I'm lifting him up. And things going on, I'm gonna be all right. I want to tell you Pearl, get ready for your testimony. I want you to testify all this week, Mother's Day week. And mothers is very important in our lives. And I want to thank Prophet Lorraine. Her mother is still living. I think her mother is 94. And she gets around. And her mind is good. So that's good. And Berto was 90, you know. And Harry Bronte, he was 93 or 96. I want to talk about that a little bit. Jerry Williams, God bless you for your seed. He called me, said, Bishop, I'm seeding to the ministry. Thank you, Jerry. All is well. I want to tell you tonight, the devil gets busy when you're trying to do something. I was talking to Sister Deborah Ann, and you're like, the devil get busy. They don't want you to listen to the show, or they don't want you to start your business. And I want to tell you tonight, whatever business you want to start, you have to be one. And God, you know, Prophet Johnson told me, said, Bishop, I started my church with 3 drunks. I said, okay, he said, I started my church with 3 drunks. And now I got over 500 members. It's not where you're in, it's when you start. And when you start, you end up on a good road. And stop saying that I'm too old. Stop saying I can't. All is in divine order with God. Whatever you want, God got. Whatever you need, God got. But you need a healing, God got it. If you need a breakthrough, God got it. God will send his angels, Michael, Raphael, and the archangels, and the seraphim will come and see about you, but you have not because you ask not. The question is tonight, what have you asked God for, and what have you seeded for God's work? I'll show you. Next month, I'll be in Detroit, Pearl. I'm looking for you to be there with bells on. If you get you some new red shoes or get you some green shoes, I might have to buy you some gym shoes, Pearl, but I want you there. Don't be laughing, Mary, because I told her, you know, I can pick up when you be laughing about when I say something. Because, you know, Pearl goes, I can't go out. God got your back. When God got your back, everything is in divine glory. Hallelujah. And the night, this is crossing over. This is the name. Mary going to read the 27 number of Psalms from 1 to 9. And once you read 1 to 9, and I'm going to start, and we're going to talk a little bit, then we're going to pray a little bit, and we're going to go to every telephone call, every letter. I had a call last night, ladies and bishops, I really enjoyed the service. I enjoyed it. I felt that it lifted me up. I come to motivate you tonight, to stimulate you. I come to lift you up, not lift you down. I come to tell you all is well. I come to tell you whatever you need, God got. Whatever you want, God got it. And, you know, I think I'm going to give it in tonight. Paul Jones, he's in the spirit world. Young man come out of Dallas, and he had caught that disease, the AIDS. And back then, there wasn't no cure. People scared. He said, Bishop, I give it to God. And sometimes you got to let go. And let God. It's so many people died of AIDS. You know, a lot of people died of COBRA. Okay. Now, the wages of sin is death, the gift of God, eternal life. And when I begin to tell you it's a divine order with God, you know, and you, each one of you tonight should have somebody you can say, take this moment and call it. And Peaches, I want to tell you the breakthrough for you. Pinella, that's a breakthrough for you. Sometimes when I be prophesying Rose, Pearl, sometimes God give me the address. He give me what's going on in your personal life. And the ancestor pop up and said, talk to them. Now, I want to tell you, Sister Pat, I'll talk to you. Your mother is sitting here in the studio to tell me, said, leaving you sick, the smoke that's around you. She's saying, Bishop, tell Pat, her boyfriend got to stop smoking that reefer and that whatever he's doing, it should not be in the house. Okay. Before he come in her life, he said she was all right. I said. I just want to share that with you. That's what she said. I'm going to the spirit realm right now as I give prophecy and give a word of prophecy to you. Tell you, Brother Wayne, George Wayne, and I hear you saying, Bishop, how did I get him? You got where you at, drinking, smoking, not listening to God. And if some good things going to happen, and I see Ione with you. That's your grandmother. Gold Money's with you. Mm-hmm. George Henry, that's your father. He's with you. They call me the Rock. Okay. Bishop, I want to say that it's a lot happening and tell the people to watch going in and out. Okay, I'll do that. I'm able to see things like I've never seen before. Okay, I said. Brother George Henry, God bless you. Thank you. I want you to know tonight as I go into the spirit and I cause over, I say. God will let me know. Picking up the young lady that got killed Saturday, her spirit is in them. Bishop, those criminals tried to rob me. They have been doing it to other people. I said. My granny come and got me. I'm all right. I said. Tell my sister, don't cry. I'm all right. Thank you, Kansas. I said. When I go in the spirit world, I pick up things. Now, Carrie, I see you in the spirit world. You speaking to Sam. Sam Carey is saying that continue on your job, but begin to work your business and help the young folks around you. I say. I'm picking up Mother Jackson. Tell my daughter to slow down. Thank you. I say. I'm picking up a pearl. And she told me to tell Deborah not to be upset with her daughter. And I told my daughter, okay, I'm going to look at Claire, that's what you're saying, not to be upset. And I'm glad this is what, but she's back with her husband and the witchcraft broke up off of him. I said. there's two deaths in that family. One in Detroit and one down in North Carolina. Talk to you, Deborah, that we've seen, what she's seen. Now, when I go in the spirit world, let's say that shit. Mother Frances, I see you. What you have to say to the people, Mother Frances, all of them listening, give me a word, I say. Those that love God, read their Bible, keep themselves anointed going out, because there's so many evil spirits are possessing people, and people don't know that. Ain't nobody teaching about possession. So it's important for them to know that there's a lot of evil spirits out there. And you have to keep yourself, not your feet, your head, and to, she said, anoint your body. And you need to do that as you go in and out. And she said, so much is going on. You need to do that. Anoint yourself. Okay. Because, Bishop, there's a lot going on. I want to ask this question tonight, I say, as we get ready to go deeper into our little crossover, that that's going to be fought in Texas. Who's bringing me that? Reverend Moses, okay. That fire, some part of Texas, Canada, and it's going to be fire in Minnesota. Okay. I'm standing in water. He said, I'm standing in water between Illinois, Missouri, some part of Memphis, some part of Tennessee, part of Mississippi, down to the Gulf. And in Illinois, around Cairo, around that area, where it's low, the Mississippi River coming out of its banks. There's so much water there, I say. I want to ask, Bishop Frank. I want to ask you something tonight. Tell me how it look going into 2024. Bishop Frank said there's going to be computer war. There's going to be robots doing things. A lot of people going to be sick. If they don't change their eating habit. And Bishop, what you think about people in Chicago, Detroit, and in Mississippi, in Louisiana? The whole dynamic gonna change, that people gonna be able to be more clairvoyant and see what's going on. A lot of contamination going on with the food. Okay. I see. God bless you tonight. This is Crossing Over with Our Ancestors. If you got somebody you want to talk to, you better call me. Gabriel is standing by. Michael is standing by. And when I call Michael, Gabriel, and Metatron, it's a done deal. So what I'm saying tonight, when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, the angels got busy and went to the grave site. Gabriel said, get up. Gabriel brought him. And the other angels was there. Okay. So I say. We're going to get ready to have Mary Mary from Detroit. My problem is for you, Mary, for you even read. I see a lady. I'm looking deep now. I say. When I look at this lady in the spirit world, she's saying, there's some people in your family, Mary, that need a healing. And they got to be healed long distance. I'm going to tell you what to do. Because of your tithes, because of your season, God will give you to do it. You got two sisters need some help. I say. And you are spiritual enough and Pearl is spiritual enough to take them under your wings and just pray. You got to tell them what you're doing. God will hear and answer prayer. The Bible says the wage of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life. So once you tell God what you want, I'm gonna show you tonight that when Bertha come to me and telling me what's going on in the family tree, that's what's happening. Okay. And he's telling me some things that got to do with family business. Okay. Thank you, Kathy. And that's what she's saying. I'm going to go to Detroit, where I'm at right here. Thank you. Mary, God bless you tonight. You got that scripture to read? You got a testimony? This is Mother's Day, and every night we're going to have testimony, okay? Because it's good to have a mother. It's good to have a mother and father. But most times, people, you know, they forget, but mother, and I got a son to throw out, Mary come to the cross to see Jesus. And that was her son. So what I'm telling you tonight, when you let go and let God, things happen. Mary, you're on there.
Want me to read?
Yes.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in a time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou seekest my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God, of my salvation. Amen. I just read 27 number song.
Did you read down to the ninth verse?
Yes.
Read the ninth verse again. Just the ninth verse.
Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy
servant away. Hold. Don't go too fast. The Bible, this is David, that the 27 number is that this is the ninth verse. This is the ninth day, right?
Yes.
It's a, hide not my face, read.
Far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger.
Put thou not thy servant. Hold it, stop right there. David's saying, Lord, don't hide from me. Don't put me away. because I did some wrong things. David is crying out for God to forgive him. He's crying out for God to lift him up. Read on.
Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation.
David is saying, God, you've been there with me for many a day. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Don't leave me now. Sometimes we make mistakes. When you read Psalm 27, it uplifts you. It tells you what God is going to do for you. And David saying, Lord, you've been with me all this long time. Don't leave me now. And sometimes you have to listen to the word of God and you get caught up. I want to say this tonight. Whatever you need, God got it and he'll give it to you. But and when that first started, that first verse said, bring some finance into the temple. Isn't that what it said? Read that again, Mary. She reads the ninth verse.
Okay.
Go ahead on.
Hide not thy face far from me.
Hide not thy face from me? Go ahead on.
Put not thy servant away in anger.
Don't put me away in anger. Go ahead on.
Thou hast been my help.
Stop right there. David saying, don't put me away in anger because I messed up. Because you've been my help all along. Let me tell you this here. All people listening, I want you to know that tonight. God is your helper.
Yes.
You can move or breathe without God. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So I don't care what nobody said. God is your helper. You can't move or breathe without God. Okay, read on.
Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation.
Now, David said, God, you've been my help. Don't leave me. Sometimes we mess up and we think God don't love us. God loves you. And whatever you need, God's going to give it to you. There's so many people that they done lost out. They lost out because of greed. All the silver, all the gold don't mean nothing if you ain't got God. You got people rich, and their stomach all messed up. They can't eat a steak. They all messed up. You got people got money, and they blind. They can't even see what a dollar look like. God have blessed us to be together tonight. God has blessed us to share the word tonight. God has blessed us to testify how good God is. And I was telling a lady this morning, your prayers, your son in college, the army, and back home, okay? Now, if you prayed and God did that for you, that lets you know you got connection with God. See, David had connection with God. God, you've been with me. I might have messed up down the road, but I repented. Repent means, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Save me. Sanctify me. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me with the power of the anointing. I say, now, when I go to the spirit world, your mother and father, you got their DNA. And your mother is still with you. Your dad is still with you. Now, you might don't know why you get mad. You may not know why you feel where you feel, because the ancestors always come to see about you and me. So you have to understand that you can't pass by God. God got angels. God got prophets. God got people is set up seraphims, and the angels come. Happy Mother's Day. Hey, Mother's Day is Sunday. Mother's Day is every day, Mother. Even if you ain't got no children, if you have some children, in God's eyesight, he said, be fruitful and multiply. I don't want to go down the road to talk about all this homosexual stuff because that ain't a God. And I seen on TV today, they said the monkeypox will come back. They said, this is what they said, the monkeypox come back. This is what the announcer said, you gay men, go get a shot. Why are you trying to be with a man anyway? You got the monkeypox. That ain't nothing but, you know, you going to the back door when God ain't made you to do that. You know what I'm saying? God made woman and man. Thank God for your mama and your dad and your mother, because if our parents was gay, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be on this radio show. You wouldn't be able to testify, Mary, you wouldn't be able to read. Lois, you wouldn't be able to be on now, okay? And I want to tell you, Sister Allison, you wouldn't be able to be on. If our parents had listened to the devil, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, okay? I want to say that to you tonight. Glory, hallelujah. I just feel God's going to open up a financial door for somebody. Somebody said, Bishop, I need some big money. And I want to decree some big money for you going into Mother's Day. Mother's Day. Jesus said to the disciples, behold my mother. And Mary looked up and said, that's my son. That's Jesus. And Jesus looked and said, I got to be about my father's business. Can't tarry. And I want to tell you tonight, whatever you need, God got. Whatever you want, God got. I feel a kind of way tonight that the spirit, the storms and the floods coming back to back, because men have turned away from God. They're doing their own thing. I was telling Pearl that I'm going to do the boogie-woogie where I want to explain the dance where people, where I can bring. It's an old dance, but it's new. Like Grandma just said, get rid of them old clothes, go to the store, get you some new ones. Get them old shoes, get some new shoes. Regina Ann is with me. And telling me, Regina, for you to stay focused, everything is in divine order. And what you want me to tell your two daughters? Bishop, I want one to wake up. Then I want one to just have faith. All that was missing, God gonna restore it. Okay. That's what he's saying to you, Regina. And what you asked him, okay, she telling me, Regina called me because she telling me for something you to do. Okay, I say. And she said, don't worry about the picture you sent Bishop because it's a long story go with that. Okay. So, that's your brother, whether you want to know it or not. The circumstances got to come from me. I say. Thank you, Karen. Pauline, God bless you tonight. I see you on. Pauline and, okay, Joanne. That's Joanne. Or Elizabeth. Oh, that's your mother, Elizabeth. Elizabeth wants you to know all is well. And she wants you to stop drinking so much of beer and change the crowd. Thank you, Chance Spirit. Okay, I'll share. Anything else? Okay, you told me nothing else. Thank you. I'm going to go to Detroit and have Pearl to testify. And Mary, do you have a testimony? See, I believe that testify where you got a chance. I'm going to start off testifying. I want to thank God for being here tonight. I want to thank God for every telephone call. I want to thank God for expressing love. I want to thank God for all our ancestors, I say. I would thank God that we're able to get out down in Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana, all the way down into Africa. People call me from Haiti. People call me from Africa. They text and they do it. I want to thank God for Chicago. I want to thank God for Mississippi, Arkansas, wherever you live. God got a couple. And I want to thank God tonight that he kept us in the land of the living in spite of the storm. I know a lot of people, they died under this cobra. I know lots of preachers down south in Michigan, Chicago, just died. Okay? But God kept me and you here for a reason. Don't back away. Stay focused because God got something to do. Don't forget, Mary called me, prayer called me. I want to tell you what your mother's saying about your two sisters, okay? And, okay, Bertha telling Fair to go sit down. Fair hollering, see about my son. And Pearl told Fair to go sit down. And Fair kind of bucking up. She said, go sit down. Fair ain't got her wings yet. She's still in progress. Thank you, kind spirit. I want to tell you, Willie Mae, Mag want to know, is she all right? Willie Mae telling Mag, you're going to be all right and don't get upset. Don't let the kids upset you. If you want to go, go. If you don't want to go, don't go. Thank you, Chancellor. Lisa, I'm picking up your father. He's sitting in a big chair, and he's rocking his chair back and forth. He said, tell Lisa, everything's all right, bitch, so don't worry. Sir. I want her to slow down from working so hard. Because everything that she wants is coming to her. She's saying, don't let the family members pull you from what you're doing. I say, thank you, Shannon Spirit. Renee. Your mother told me to tell you, slow down, and you don't need all them. What you trying to do on Wednesday? She said you don't need to do that. Now I don't know what you're doing on Wednesday. She said what you're doing on Wednesday, you don't have to do it. And okay, stop letting people upset you. And what is you want to tell her? She said, every weekend, she don't want you drinking every weekend. Thank you, kind spirit. And chastise your son and don't back up. When you say you ain't going to do something, don't do it. I say. That's for you, Renee. Glory, hallelujah. And I'm going to the Detroit. I'm going to Detroit. Mary Hawkins. I'm going to Mary Hawkins in Detroit. And thank you, kind spirit. And Mary Hawkins and Mary too. Two Marys on here. Thank you. Pearl, well, happy Mother's Day to everybody. I'm going to tell you what you need to do for Mother's Day. Now, Pearl, you on?
Yes, I am.
Okay, hold on, Pearl. This is what I want people to do. If your mother in the spirit world, they said wear a white robe. I don't believe in that. If you want to wear something red, a red robe or something red, because your mother's spirit is in your vein, the blood running. If you living, she living. Okay? If your mother in the spirit world. Now, Pearl, your mother in the spirit world, and she told me to tell you, thank you, I'm listening to her now. Do you have a brother in the spirit world, Pearl, somebody, a young man taught in spirit world past?
I have too.
Is it a brother?
Yes.
Green, I ask you, with your mother, there's two men sitting around her, and there's three women sitting around her. She in control. She want you to work with your two sisters long distance. Okay? I'm going to tell you what she tell me to tell you to do. Okay? And, boy, hallelujah. Now, I say. Do you want to ask her something before I go into public?
Whatever you've
got
to tell me.
Your mother told me to tell you, and she's smiling. So you done come a long ways, and you can't give up now. You can't let your son or your grandson upset you. She said, don't let them upset you. Do what you want to do, and sometimes get out of the house. Thank you, Chance. Okay. If you're gonna love your mother, wear a red rose, not nothing white. See, because her veins is running warm and your blood, so wear white, a red rose. Else, if you want to wear something for Mother's Day, put some red on. That red represents the blood. I share you the blood. You got her blood, she got your blood. So your mother in the spirit world, Pearl, saying all is well. So you ain't got to worry about nothing because you did everything she told you to do. Okay? And she saying that you obeyed and took care of the rest of the family. Okay? And thank you, Chancellor. Some of them wouldn't listen to you, but you still are seen about everybody in the family, okay? I say. So that's what she's saying to you. As I see her in the spirit realm, all is well. See, Mother's Day, every day should be Mother's Day. But, you know, the white folks set a day up and say, this Mother's Day, this Father's Day. They want you to go downtown and buy a big dress, it's a ripoff. White magic. Just white magic. You know, white magic always hook you up to spend some money. And it's white folks' benefit, not black folks. When I tell black folks black magic, they get scared. Because they ain't been taught the offset white magic. And the only way the offset white magic is you work what you do. And you can't get around that. If a cat is black, he black. See, if a dog black, he black. You can't turn him green. That's for another show. I'm going to do white magic, black magic. And I want y'all to, because we're going to go by scripture. Because some people don't believe fat meat grease. And I want to go by scriptures where they can have the scripture. All is well. I just want you to know that. Pearl, give your testimony right now. This is Pearl William from Detroit. now. And happy Mother's Day, Pearl. Give your testimony.
Giving honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to the bishop and to all the saints of God. I'd like to say tonight that I truly have been blessed, because if it wasn't for the Lord, I don't know what I would do, because I got some news this evening about my older sister. She called me. That's something she usually don't do. Out of all these many years, she never. You can call her. She'll call you back if she don't get right then. But she called me this evening, and the way she was talking, her mind is going real fast. And I was just
That's
like
what
to
your mother
say.
Said.
And she, and I like to say that I hope she be better, because I had told her daughter this evening that it was something wrong, because I know she usually don't call me, but she called this evening, and I could tell she is developing Alzheimer's, because the day she called me, she was talking strange. And so I said, then I know something wrong, so I called the daughter, and so she was telling me that she'd been acting strange, and so I'm so glad that the Lord has seen fit for me to be in my right mind. And I always tell the Lord to please guide my mind. And so far, I seem to be doing pretty good, because I have been through some stuff, I declare. But only God knows. And he knows,
Amen.
And he knows while I'm going through this, because he put me here to take these things. And so I just thank him every day. And so much is going on now, but it don't scare me or nothing. I just take it as it comes. And I want to thank
Amen.
The Lord for being able at my age to take what I take.
God bless you. Mother Pearl, God bless you tonight. But
nice
I want to tell you, I want to tell you, God have already gave you the remedy for your sister. When I told you that you got to work long distance with her, and once you work long distance with her, her mind gonna get all right. Cause Bertha, that's your mother, right? She's telling me what you need to do in order to glory, hallelujah, to get her together. Okay. Now, they said she lost some money, but she ain't lost this money. Thank you, kind spirit. See?
Uh-huh.
She take money and stick it anywhere. She take money, when she get it, she stick it anywhere and come up missing.
Uh-huh.
Ain't nothing but somebody in the house getting money. And she looking for it and can't find it. Well, it'll come out. Mm. I want to ask you,
the one that gave it to us, the one pick it up, probably. That's the one who got it. The one who goes to bank or wherever.
Back and forth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She wants everybody else to think.
She put it up and do what she did. She get the money and put it up and show her where that, and then slip and get it back.
I know.
And tell her, oh, you put it over him. Or you put it over him, okay? So she, her mind, she looking under the bed, under the mattress, looking in drawers, and
that's
the money's gone because Gary's got the money. Huh?
That's what ain't gonna worry.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, but we're going to put a stop to that. Thank you, kind spirit. All is well. God is blessed. Roof, I got Roof here. Roof, I want to tell you, all is well. And I want to tell you, Roof, you want to know what's happening with Sadie. Sadie is going through a healing process, and she's going to be all right. I shall. Thank you. And God going to do what he's supposed to do. The ancestors is very deep in here tonight. And I guess because it's Mother's Day, all these mothers in him with these big hats on and cutting up. Thank you, kind spirit. Dressing, okay? Now, thank you, kind spirit. 7158. Let me open it up for 7158 from Detroit. 7158 is a young man. 7158 is a young man around you. He's in the spirit world. He said that somebody tricked him. He don't know, did he take poison or something, but he said he's all right. Do you understand that? 7158, and he's saying that something happened, but he's going to be all right. Okay, that's happened with that. I say. And I want you to read Psalms 71 and Psalm 79. Thank you, kind spirit. I say. I'm just seeing mothers coming together, of lots of mothers coming together, marching to Washington. Listen to what I'm saying. And they want to stop and ban the assault weapon and these guns. And I'm seeing them coming from Texas, Alabama, Mississippi, coming all over the country, going to the White House. And so we ain't leaving until we get a bill passed. I say. Now, I pick up these people that have been killed. I'm picking up a crowd of them. They want to know what's happening. They're in the spirit realm. And there's so many children crying. I hear them crying, asking for their parents. And I see the shooting just happened in Texas. The people, bam, don't know what happened. Demon spirits is doing that stuff. Them demon spirits. I say. That's what's happening. The demon spirits. I want to tell you tonight, the angel, I'm sending you an angel tonight. Now, them that plant a seed, this angel going to work for your finance. Them that plant the seed, okay? And when you plant that seed, bam, whatever you put out, it's going to come back 100-fold. 100-fold means that God going to give you more and more. Archangel Metatron, Archangel, when the archangels come, they come to bring Archangel Michael, Uriel, Babiel, Hamiel, Archangel Master Musa. That's the angel of money and finance, and the angel of richness. That's our ancestor. And when you go in the right place, Mary, he going to make sure you get some money. That's Archangel Master Musa. And we call him Archangel Master. That's Archangel Master. And he master all finance, silver, gold, all of that. And he just got his wings. I say. And when I deal with the angels, I'm going to teach about the angels. Know your angel. You should know your angel. Okay. Okay. Mary, what's your angel name?
My angel is Anathia.
Huh? Your angel name who?
I think it's Anathia.
What month you born?
November.
Andrea?
Yeah. Yes.
Let me see. Andrea is your angel. But you got a lot of more angels. When I come to Detroit, I'm going to do a service to invoke angels. People ain't got angels. I'm going to invoke angels for them when I come to Detroit next month. I'm going to give them their angels. Okay. Their guardian angel. Hold up. Let me see. You said November?
Yes.
Okay, hold up. November angel. Muriel, okay. November. Andrea.
How you
That's
spell
November.
It?
December is Hamia. What is Pearl's birthday?
July.
July?
Yeah.
July is Versiel. That's her angel, Versiel. And
okay.
June is Muriel. Okay? And May is Hamiel. And the guardian angel. These are the guardian angels. I'm glad I got them right here. The guardian angel. Thank you, Kansas Spirit. Really, Mother's Day is a day to give honor. If they in the spirit world wear something red. Because, you know, they got a bad wear something white. What you going to wear something white? You wear something red that says the blood of my mother is running through my veins. Okay? I shake. That's what you do with that. Thank you, kind spirit. So it's good to know that God will work for you. We're going to have a little, it's 10:03. I want to hear something from Dr. Martin Luther King. Okay, I say. June, I see you want to know all is well. I see your hand up. Thank you, Chance. I want to give you step to the next level for healing and success. Matthew 13:8. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The elders got a good report. So divine miracle ministry, and I want to talk about financial covenant. And Exodus 14:14, step back and let God do what he's supposed to do. Okay? I want you to Genesis 7:5, Proverbs 13:21. I want you to understand that God will give you what you need tonight. St. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. Now, I prophesy storms and floods. I'm going to prophesy just tonight with the ancestors. You're going to see, if you get up early in the morning, you're going to see flying saucers, okay? You're going to see them red moons and blue moons. They're going to find different stuff up in space. But you'll be able in Detroit, Chicago, Minnesota, North Dakota, you're going to be able to see them, a flying saucer early in the morning or late at night, okay? You're going to see them there. They ain't going to tell you, the government ain't going to tell you that they're out there, but you'll see them for yourself. Thank you, Chance. One of the things that I feel that it will work for you is Dr. King talking about the three evils.
And from dungeons of oppression, by feelings of freedom. All over the world, like a fever, freedom is spreading, and the widest liberation.
See, Dr. King was a prophet before his time, and people don't want to acknowledge that. Even black folks don't even know. God, Dr. King was sent by God to wake us up, and we still sleep. The reason I play Dr. King, because it wakes you up to the truth. See, you can have faith all you want to, but if you got a bucket of truth, I know the sun set in the west and rise in the east. You ain't got to tell me that. I know that. And I want to tell you tonight, reason Mississippi got so much a problem, the murder, the killing, to all our people. But I want to tell you tonight, happy Mother's Day. I'm going to say it and keep saying it to each one of you. 71:85, Psalm 7:8. 21:17, Psalm 15. I'm just getting the Psalms coming in now. Psalm 81:38, Psalm 47, and Psalm 50. Per 21:17, Psalm 33, 36, and Psalm 40. 71:58, Psalm 37, and Psalm 91. Lord, hallelujah. 69:64, 93. I don't know what I see, but I see some new stuff coming.
Read in the balance of history and sound wanting. We have come because we see this as a dark hour in the affairs of men. For most of us, this is a new mood. We are traditionally the idealists. We are the marchers from Mississippi and Selma and Washington, who staked our lives on the American dream during the first half of this decade. Many assemble here campaigned assiduously for Lyndon Johnson in 1964 because we could not stand idly by and watch our nation contaminated by the 18th century policies of Goldwaterism. We were the hardcore activists who were willing to believe that Southerners could be reconstructed in the constitutional image. We were the dreamers of a dream. That dark yesterdays of man's inhumanity to man would soon be transformed into bright tomorrows of justice. Now it is hard to escape the disillusionment of betrayal. Our hopes have been blasted and our dreams have been shattered. The promise of a great society was shipwrecked off the coast of Asia on the dreadful peninsula of Vietnam. The poor black and white, are still perishing on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. What happens to a dream deferred? It leads to bewildering frustration and corroding bitterness. I came to see this in a personal experience here in Chicago last summer. And all the speaking that I have done in the United States before varied audiences, including some hostile whites, the only time that I have ever been booed was one night in our regular weekly mass meeting by some angry young men of our movement. I went home that night with an ugly feeling. Selfishly, I thought of my sufferings and sacrifices over the last 12 years. Why would they boo one so close to them? But as I lay awake thinking, I finally came to myself, and I could not for the life of me have less in patience and understanding for those young men. For 12 years, I and others like me had held out radiant promises of progress. I had preached to them about my dream. I had lectured to them about the not too distant day when they would have freedom all here now. I had urged them to have faith in America and in white society. Their hopes had soared. They were now booing me because they felt that we were unable to deliver on our promises. They were booing because we had urged them to have faith in people who had too often proved to be unfaithful. They were now hostile because they were watching the dream that they had so readily accepted turn into a frustrating nightmare. This situation is all the more ominous in view of the rising expectations of men the world over. Deep rumblings that we hear today, the rumbling of discontent, is the thunder of disinherited masses rising from dungeons of oppression to the bright hills of freedom. All over the world, like a fever, freedom is spreading in the widest liberation movement in history. The great masses of people are determined to end the exploitation of our races and land. In one majestic chorus, they are singing in the words of our freedom song, "Ain't gonna let nobody turn us around." So the collision course is set. The people cry for freedom, and the Congress attempts to legislate repression. Millions, yes, billions, are appropriated for mass murder. But the most meager pittance of foreign aid for international development is crushed in the surge of reaction. Unemployment rages at a major depression level in the black ghetto, but the bipartisan response is an anti-riot bill rather than a serious poverty program. The modest proposals for modern cities rent supplement and rat control, pitiful as they were to begin with, get caught in the maze of congressional inaction. And I submit to you tonight that a Congress that proves to be more anti-Negro than anti-rat needs to be dismissed. It seems that our legislative assemblies have adopted Nero as their patron saint and are bent on fiddling while our cities burn. Even when the people persist and in the face of great obstacles develop indigenous leadership and self-help approaches to their problems and finally tread the forest of bureaucracy to obtain existing government funds, the corrupt political order seeks to crush even this beginning of hope. The case of CDGM and Mississippi is the most publicized example, but it is a story repeated many times across our nation. Our own experience here in Chicago is especially painful at present. After an enthusiastic approval by HEW's Department of Adult Education, SCLC began an adult literacy project to aid 1,000 young men and women who have been pushed out of overcrowded ghetto schools and obtaining basically literacy skills requisite to receiving jobs. We had an agreement with A&P Stores for 750 jobs through SCLC's job program, Operation Breadbasket, and had recruited over 500 pupils the first week. At that point, Congressman Kuczynski and the Daily Machine intervened and demanded that Washington cut off our funds or channel them through the machine-controlled poverty program in Chicago. Now we have no problem with administrative supervision, but we do have a desire to be independent of machine control and the Democratic Party patronage network. With this desire for a politically independent approach to the needs of our brothers, our funds are being stopped as of September 15th, and a very meaningful program discontinued. Yes, the hour is dark. Evil comes forth in the guise of good. It is a time of double talk when men in high places have a high blood pressure of deceptive rhetoric and an anemia of concrete performance. We cry out against welfare handouts to the poor, but generously approve an oil depletion allowance to make the rich richer. 6 Mississippi plantations receive more than $1 million a year not to plant cotton, but no provision is made to feed the tenant farmer who is put out of work by the government subsidy. The crowning achievement in hypocrisy must go to those staunch Republicans and Democrats of the Midwest and West who were given land by our government when they came here as immigrants from Europe. They were given education through the land-grant colleges. They were provided with agricultural agents to keep them abreast of farming trends. They were granted low-interest loans to aid in the mechanization of their farms. And now that they have succeeded...
Dr. King, I had to pause. Dr. King talked about how we're behind. Other people came to this country. We came in handcuffs and slaves. But reason we're behind, our government, when we pay tax, give everything. Like right now, they bring all these people in. What about the people in Chicago? What about the people that fought in Vietnam and Korea? So one of the things I'm talking about, the same thing happened before our eyes. Other people that ain't paying no tax, taking our tax money, and taking over. And the same thing happening now. That's what Dr. King talking about. Right now, the reason we are so behind, that we didn't never get opportunities to buy no land. They didn't buy the land that was gave to them.
Finally tread the forest of bureaucracy to obtain existing government funds. The corrupt political order seeks to crush even this beginning of hope. The case of CDGM in Mississippi is the most publicized example, but it is a story repeated many times across our nation. Our own experience here in Chicago is especially painful at present. After an enthusiastic approval by HEW's Department of Adult Education, SCLC began an adult literacy project to aid 1,000 young men and women who have been pushed out of overcrowded ghetto schools in obtaining basic basically literacy skills, prerequisite to receiving jobs. We had an agreement with A&P stores for 750 jobs through SCLC's job program, Operation Breadbasket, and had recruited over 500 pupils the first week. At that point, Congressman Kuczynski and the Daily Machine intervened and demanded that Washington cut off our funds or channel them through the machine-controlled poverty program in Chicago. Now we have no problem with administrative supervision, but we do have a desire to be independent of machine control and the Democratic Party patronage network. But this desire for a politically independent approach to the needs of our brothers. Our funds are being stopped as of September 15th, and a very meaningful program discontinued. Yes, the hour is dark. Evil comes forth in the guise of good. It is a time of double talk. When men in high places have a high blood pressure of deceptive rhetoric and an anemia of concrete performance. We cry out against welfare handouts to the poor, but generously approve an oil depletion allowance to make the rich richer. Six Mississippi plantations receive more than $1 million a year not to plant cotton, but no provision is made to feed the tenant farmer who is put out of work by the government subsidy. The crowning achievement in hypocrisy must go to those staunch Republicans and Democrats of the Midwest and West who were given land by our government when they came here as immigrants from Europe. They were given education through the land-grant colleges. They were provided with agriculture agents to keep them abreast of farming trends. They were granted low-interest loans to aid in the mechanization of their farms. And now that they have succeeded in becoming successful, they are paid not to farm. And these are the same people who now say to black people whose ancestors were brought to this country in chains and who were emancipated in 1863 without being given land to cultivate a bread to eat, that they must pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. What they truly advocate is socialism for the rich and capitalism for the poor. I wish that I could say that this is just a passing phase in the cycle of our nation's life. Certainly times of war, times of reaction throughout the society. But I suspect that we are now experiencing the coming to the surface of a triple-pronged sickness that has been lurking within our body politic from its very beginning. That is the sickness of racism, excessive materialism, and militarism. Not only is this our nation's dilemma, it is the plague of Western civilization. As early as 1906, W.E.B. Du Bois prophesied that the problem of the 20th century will be the problem of the color line. Now, as we stand two-thirds into this crucial period of history, we know full well that racism is still that hound of hell which dogs the tracks of our civilization. Ever since the birth of our nation, white America has had a schizophrenic personality on the question of race. She has been torn between selves, a self in which she proudly professed the great principles of democracy, and a self in which she badly practiced the antithesis of democracy. This tragic duality has produced a strange indecisiveness and ambivalence toward the Negro, causing America to take a step backward simultaneously with every step forward on the question of racial justice, to be at once attracted to the Negro and repelled by it, to love and to hate it. There has never been a solid, unified, and determined thrust to make justice a reality for Afro-America. The step backward has a new name today. It is called the white backlash. But the white backlash is nothing new. It is the surfacing of old prejudices, hostilities, and ambivalences that have always been there. It was caused neither by the cry of black power nor by the unfortunate recent wave of riots in our cities. The white backlash of today is rooted in the same problem that has characterized America ever since the black man landed in chains on the shores of this nation. This does not imply that all white Americans are racist. Far from it, many white people have, through a deep moral compulsion, fought long and hard for racial justice. Nor does it mean that America has made no progress in our attempt to cure the body politic of the disease of racism, or that the dogma of racism has not been considerably modified in recent years. However, for the good of America, it is necessary to refute the idea that the dominant ideology in our country, even today, is freedom and equality, while racism is just an occasional departure from the norm on the part of a few bigoted extremists. Racism can well be that ferocious evil that would bring down the curtain on Western civilization. Arnold Toynbee has said that some 26 civilizations have risen upon the face of the earth. Almost all of them have descended into the junk heaps of destruction. The decline and fall of these civilizations, according to Toynbee, not caused by external invasions, but by internal decay. They fail to respond creatively to the challenges impinging upon them. If America does not respond creatively to the challenge to banish racism, some future historian will have to say that a great civilization died because it lacked the soul and commitment to make justice a reality for all men. The second aspect of our afflicted society is extreme materialism. An Asian writer has portrayed our dilemma in candid terms. He says, "You call your thousand material devices labor-saving machinery, yet you are forever busy with the multiplying of your own machinery. You grow increasingly fatigued, anxious, nervous, dissatisfied. Whatever you have, you want more. Wherever you are, you want to go somewhere else. Your devices are neither time-saving nor soul-saving machinery. There are so many sharp spurs which urge you on to invent more machinery and to do more business. This tells us something about our civilization that cannot be cast aside as a prejudice charge by an Eastern thinker who is jealous of Western prosperity. We cannot escape the indictment. This does not mean that we must turn back the clock of scientific progress. No one can overlook the wonders that science has wrought for our lives. The automobile will not abdicate in favor of the horse and buggy, or the train in favor of the stagecoach, or the tractor in favor of the hand plow, or the scientific method in favor of ignorance and superstition. But our moral lag must be redeemed. When scientific power outruns moral power, we end up with guided missiles and misguided men. When we foolishly maximize the minimum and minimize the maximum, we sign the warrant for our own day of doom. It is this moral lag in our thing-oriented society that blinds us to the human realities around us, encourages us in the greed and exploitation which create the sector of poverty in the midst of wealth. Again, we have deluded ourselves into believing the myth that capitalism grew and prospered out of the Protestant ethic of hard work and sacrifice. The fact is that capitalism was built on the exploitation and suffering of black slaves. And it continues to thrive on the exploitation of the poor, both black and white, both here and abroad. Negroes and poor whites do not participate in the free flow of wealth within our economy. They will forever be poor, giving their energy, their talents, and their limited funds to the consumer market, but reaping few benefits and services in return. The way to end poverty is to end the exploitation of the poor. Ensure them a fair share of the government services and the nation's resources. I proposed recently that a national agency be established to provide employment for everyone needing it. Nothing is more socially inexcusable than unemployment in this age. In the 30s, when the nation was bankrupt, it instituted such an agency, the WPA. In the present conditions of a nation flooded with resources, it is barbarous to condemn people desiring work, soul-sapping inactivity and poverty. I am convinced that even this one massive act of concern would do more than all the state police and armies of the nation to quell riots and steal hatred. The tragedy is that our materialistic culture does not possess the statesmanship necessary to do it. Victor Hugo could have been thinking of 20th century America when he wrote, "There's always more misery among the lower classes than there is humanity in the higher classes." The time has come for America to face the inevitable choice between materialism and humanism. We must devote at least as much to our children's education and the health of the poor as we do to the care of our automobiles and the building of beautiful, impressive hotels. we must also realize that the problem of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power. We must further recognize that the ghetto is a domestic colony. Black people must develop programs that will aid in the transfer of power and wealth into the hands of residents of the ghetto so that they may, in reality, control their own destiny. This is the meaning of new politics. People of goodwill in the larger community must support the black man in this effort. The final phase of our national sickness is the disease of militarism. Nothing more clearly demonstrates our nation's abuse of military power than our tragic adventure in Vietnam. This war has played havoc with the destiny of the entire world. It has torn up the Geneva Agreement. It has seriously impaired the United Nations. It has exacerbated the hatred between continents and, worse still, between races. It has frustrated our development of home at home, telling our own underprivileged citizens that we place insatiable military demands above our most critical needs. It has greatly contributed to the forces of reaction in America and strengthened the military-industrial complex. And it has practically destroyed Vietnam and left thousands of American and Vietnamese youth maimed and mutilated, and exposed the whole world to the risk of nuclear warfare. Above all, the war in Vietnam has revealed what Senator Fulbright calls our nation's arrogance of power. We are arrogant in professing to be concerned about the freedom of foreign nations while not setting our own house in order. Many of our senators and congressmen vote joyously to appropriate billions of dollars for the war in Vietnam. And many of these same senators and congressmen vote loudly against the Fair Housing Bill to make it possible for a Negro veteran in Vietnam to purchase a decent home. We are Negro soldiers to kill on foreign battlefields, but offer little protection for their relatives from beatings and killings in our own South. We are willing to make the Negro 100% of a citizen in warfare, but reduce him to 50% of a citizen on American soil. No war in our nation's history has ever been so violative of our conscience, our national interests, and so destructive of our moral standing before the world. No enemy has ever been able to cause such damage to us as we inflict upon ourselves. The inexorable decay of our urban centers has flared into terrifying domestic conflict, as the pursuit of foreign war that starves our wealth and energy. Squalor and poverty scar our cities, as our military and might destroy cities in a far-off land to support oligarchy to intervene in domestic conflict. The president who cherishes consensus for peace has intensified the war. In answer to a cry to stop the war, it has brought taunting England to 1 minute flying time from China to a moment before the midnight of world conflagration. We are offered a tax for war instead of a plan for peace. Men of reason should no longer debate the merits of war or means of financing war. They should end the war and restore sanity and humanity to American policy. If the will of the people continues to be unheeded, all men of goodwill must create a situation in which the 1967-68 elections are made a referendum on the war. The American people... the American people must have an opportunity to vote into oblivion those who cannot detach themselves from militarism. Those who lead us. So we are here because we believe, we hope, we pray that something new might have.
I love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. I love him because he preaches. I love him because he preaches my salvation. Way back on the mountain. And I see this all the time, almost in heaven. Enjoying. I'm having a good day. And what I wonder. Have you ever found a need that you were burdened? And there might have been people around you, but nobody that you can talk to. Has there ever been a time like when everybody in the household was asleep? And because of the need in your life, you found yourself talking to God. And you know there's one tender thought that God don't hear you and God don't talk back. But I know that's not right. I talked to him this morning. And sometimes you have to be still and know. Hello, anybody here feel like talking back to me? Sometimes mama's there, father's there, wife is there, children around, but you can't talk to them because they don't understand the situation. You can't talk to friends because they eat well, but they just have a lot of the nature. Before you can hang up, your good friend called you. Then your good friend called another friend. When it gets back to you, you're crushed. Sometimes you just have to deal with God in the stillness of your life. We sing a song here in the temple that says, any way you bless me, Lord. And sometimes you just have to ask God, Lord, let it breathe through me. I'll be all right if it is the breath of the Lord. The connected job. I'm like the writer that says, you don't have to make them special because to bless me. But while you're next to your blessing, my nigga, do not pass me by. It's kind of old fashioned. But this is my choice. Song. And I reach way back. Young folk won't know it, but some of the older people might remember the word.
Father God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, touch everyone tonight for listening. Those in Arkansas, Mississippi, and those in Texas, those that want to do this song, God, we ask you tonight, just breathe on us, heal and deliver. Those that are sick, touch. Those that are confused, touch. God, let your spirit, let the power of the wind breathe on me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Breath.
Thank you. Thank you.
Still going on. Still going on. About to let it go ahead on with this brother. All right. Still going on.
your work is your calling. But if your teeth no longer work as hard as you do, ask the dentalist here.
Tragedy calls.